attorney keep
asking. Blog Talk Radio.
The victims of a 2019 boat crash are filing $65 million in wrongful death and personal injury claims against the estates of Paul Murdoch and his mother, Maggie Murdoch. The family of 19-year-old Mallory Beach filed claims of $25 million against each estate for her death, and two survivors of the crash filed claims totaling $15 million. Maggie and Paul were both found dead by attorney Alex Murdoch in Colleton County in June. He is now facing several indictments alleging several levels of fraud.
I'm Lisa Taylor.
This is Nathan Mum and Mike Roday from Tech Time with Nathan Mum. Hey, Mike.
Yeah, what's going on?
How about starting the year 2022 off with a bang with a big announcement?
Oh, yeah? What kind of big announcement do we have?
Well, we are expanding. We are expanding to Kixie 880 AM. Don't you worry, KKNW 1150 listeners, because we are still going to be broadcasting on Saturdays and on Thursday mornings, so you will not miss our show. Listen to Tech Time Radio at KKNW 1150.
Hallelujah.
And let's go ahead and take a look now at your alternative talk weather outlook for Thursday. What was the areas of fog this morning? Turn into partly sunny skies later on this afternoon. High temperatures around 44, 45 degrees. Tonight, the fog will roll back in. Low temperatures dropping down to about 33. For Friday, much the same. Areas of morning fog to start things out. Turning to mostly sunny skies yet again by Friday afternoon. High temperatures around 49. Partly cloudy skies for Friday night. Lows back down to about 36. Clouds and sunshine for Saturday. Highs around 50. With a chance of rain returning for Sunday.
This is Sue Rose Linehan, host of Talk Cosmos. Everyone is part of the sky, and every Sunday at 1 p.m., we discuss the meaningfulness of our roots in the stars with leading-edge astrology conversations guiding a journey into full growth patterns, connecting astrology's energetic cycles. So hop on board by tuning in every Sunday at 1 p.m. on 1150 a.m. KKNW for Talk Cosmos and journey with us through the cosmic roots of the stars.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned, because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show. It's coming up right next to you.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. Thank you for joining us here on the Dr. Patrio Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. We have a great lineup for you today. I am so thrilled to introduce all of you to Elizabeth Cunningham. And, you know, I haven't been able to have a conversation like the one we're going to have now for a little bit of time. Since one of my alums joined our network, alum from Claremont, joined the network a bunch of years ago and started to talk openly about things that a lot of people think are taboo. Today, we're opening up with Elizabeth Cunningham because there are questions that go on and on and on in your mind, and you are probably too afraid to ask, or you don't have the right person to ask. Now, for you, you should know that Elizabeth, take the call-in number down too, right, for the show. Because those of you out there, like you're thinking, oh, okay, I'm going to want to call in. 1-800-930-2819. Elizabeth Ann Cunningham is a love and life coach. Love and life coach. She coaches primarily non-monogamous people in the area of love and relationships. But that doesn't mean she doesn't coach other people. The point is this. She has been working and studying in the field of human sexuality and relationships, you know, almost as long as I've been doing this show, Benny. And so when you think about this and you think about somebody like she and you think about what she's been doing, what is it that you are doing to yourself What are you holding back? What is this lack of education causing you to compromise on? What if you are so feeling guilt and shame that you literally bought all of the books for 50 Shades and watched the movies five times? What is it that you're holding in that is holding you back? That's what today's show is. That's what Elizabeth Ann Cunningham does. And it's so great to have you here. Welcome to the show.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
I love, and you and I have been talking way before you even did the show. I mean, we've been having conversations all along. But, you know, one of the things I love, and I want to just talk into it and have you answer the question, too.
Sure.
To say the words monogamy, to say the words non-monogamy, I moved from the East Coast to the West Coast in 91 or 92, maybe, okay. And I got settled in here really in 93.
Okay.
But when I moved here, there was a different energy about sexuality here. And I didn't know it at the time, but I've had some time to think about it. There was a different way of being here. There were different conversations than I grew up with on the East Coast, right? There was an openness, not to mention, hello, that the Seattle area, Pacific Northwest, is really one of the hubs in the United States for the LGBTQ community.
Absolutely.
But other places and other people just don't say what's on their mind. Is that what you're finding?
I'm from the Midwest, and so I also grew up in a similar situation where it's like, you know, you just don't talk about it. Like, you talk, if you're talking about love and sex and relationships, it's talking about how you're going to get married. It's talking about how you want to get married. It's talking about, you know, dating inside of, like, just dating one other person, and definitely, you know, really dating inside of, like, opposite sex relationships, and not same sex relationships, and you don't talk about gender at all because it's not a conversation, because there's just, you know, you're just a man or you're just a woman, you know. So that's the conversation that I grew up with as well. And then starting to, like, study and get, I've always been interested in this, right? And so studying human sexuality and really being opened up to all these things, but, like, yeah, we just don't talk about. But yeah, moving out to Seattle, I was like, man, I've been studying human sexuality for a long time, but, like, in a different context. And, like, moving out to Seattle, it's like, this is a whole new context where it's like people are actually having these conversations about, like, you know, having multiple relationships or being LGBTQ or, you know, different genders and, like, fluidity and sexuality and, you know, all of this stuff, right? And it's so awesome. And, you know, one of the things that I find in people being stopped is something that you already brought up, which is just, like, shame and guilt. You know, like, is this okay? Am I okay for feeling the way that I do? Is this wrong? You know, or it's not even, is this wrong? It's like, this is definitely wrong.
Oh, my God. I almost, and this is tied into what we're talking about. You're going to walk us through what monogamy is and what non-monogamy is. We're going to have a conversation about that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to just piggyback off something you just said.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I was almost thrown out of a Zoom call not too long ago.
Okay.
I'm not kidding. Look, I've been thrown out of a lot of places for things like this. But this, we're on a real friendly Zoom call, and one of my friends was saying, oh, my gosh, I just watched this really good movie. I think, what is he called, Juno, with Ellen Page?
Oh, yeah. Elliot.
Now, Elliot, I had to say Ellen to put it in context.
Got it. Cool.
Okay. Because I did what you just did. And then I did exactly what you did in the friendly call, which then didn't get friendly. I said, you mean Elliot Page? No, Ellen Page. No, I said, no, Elliot Page, you know, Umbrella Academy, Elliot Page.
Mm-hmm.
No. And I said, listen, They were Ellen Page. They're now Elliot Page. Mm-hmm. So what I'm finding is I found myself in a little situation that led to a bigger conversation that is really the foundation of what you and I are talking about today. Mm-hmm. But I think I found myself on Zoom bringing up her profile because I love, and I say her because I was not on this call. I was not going to make my point. If I said him, or I mean, this is how restrictive this call was. I couldn't even talk about it.
Mm.
But recognizing a person for who they are and what they desire and what they want, to be able to do that without guilt and shame. And I honestly felt bad. I'm thinking, you know, if they're like getting a vibration of this call, I do need to get kicked off from it. But it leads to a bigger conversation, and mostly it almost always starts out with this. Monogamy, non-monogamy, and let's be clear on what it is, because I would venture to say most people don't know. Give us a sense from your vast experience.
Yeah, so, and that is the first question that I get asked is, like, what is monogamy? Because we don't actually use that term. We just say relationships, and it's assumed monogamy. And so what monogamy is that it's you have two people in a relationship, and the agreement is that there's only two people in that relationship. Actually, if you look up the dictionary definition of monogamy, it's specifically a life partner. However, in like the colloquial usage of it, we mean just dating or being with one other person at a time. So it's the assumed way. Like if I say I'm in a relationship with someone, you would assume that I'm only in a romantic or intimate or sexual relationship with that person.
Yeah. Yeah. So let me tell you where the dishonesty comes from around the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying this ever happened to me. But here you are, and you're facing your partner, and you have the realization, right? This is like a shot out of the new Ricardo's movie when Lucy confronts.
Spoiler.
But you're having a conversation, and you're saying, it doesn't matter what you say to me. I have the facts about what you did.
Mm-hmm.
And my mama used to say, cheating.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, oh, so monogamy is not your thing. The biggest fight on the planet happened right then, that which I never expected. Mm-hmm. Because when somebody is confronted with somebody other than you, it's hard for them to even say non-monogamy. It's almost better if you say to them, you just cheating. You're like a cheating fool. You're just like your cheating heart. Every country western song that's ever been written is about you. And they're so much more happy. But isn't this such a misconception and misunderstanding about a choice?
Absolutely. That's probably the biggest misconception about non-monogamy is that it is cheating or it's just an excuse to cheat. Or it's only for people who, like, can't be committed or won't commit, you know, to a relationship, when in reality, the non-monogamous relationships, well, that I have personally and that, like, my clients have and that I know about, like, are some of the more committed relationships. And that is one of the reasons is because you do have to have these conversations. You do have to have those confrontational conversations of, like, okay, what does come up for you when we talk about having sex with other people? What does come up for you when we talk about having feelings for other people? Because some people are like, they're okay with sex, but they're not okay with feelings, right? You can't have intimate feelings for another human being, right?
Yeah.
And so you have to have these really intimate and sometimes really dark and scary and challenging conversations with the people that you have intimate relationships with. But as we know, when you have these dark and scary and challenging conversations, it actually builds the bond of that relationship.
Yeah. I'm just going to say, go Elliot Page. That's all I want to say. You know, for me, it was like breathing to have that. It just blurted it out, just like you did with me.
Right.
I think everybody was going to get on the same page. But what I learned from that is what you're teaching us right now.
Yeah.
When we're talking about sexual relationships, sexual identity, put sex in front of any word. I don't care. There has to be a conversation. There has to be dialogue. There has to be Q&A. I don't care what it is.
Yeah.
There has to be, you know, we have to understand what this means, but also from your perspective, and I'm going to go ahead and skip the break so we can keep rolling here.
Okay.
I want to know how you help people know where they're landing on this. I want to know, I'm sure you work with people that are confused,
mm-hmm.
or they seem confused, but they're really not, but they just don't know what to do with it, right? They just don't know what to do. I have a friend that went to therapy, and I told her to go to therapy. I said, you got to get some help around this because you won't be able to have you won't be able to live a free sexual life.
Mm-hmm.
Go see my friend, right? This was back because she did. She read the three books. She watched the movies and questioned her desires. Had nobody to talk to, didn't know you, right? Had nobody to talk with. And what it did for her on the inside was so painful for me. As a friend, I couldn't help her.
Mm-hmm.
But if we don't get underneath this at understanding what monogamy is, what non-monogamy is, what it means in a relationship, and understand it in a heartfelt way, she won't be the only one that suffers, right?
Yeah. No, and it is being willing to look at the desires that you have for other people. And one of the things that I run into is that we don't know how to distinguish our desires for others because we've been brought up in a way, most of us have been brought up in a way that it's like if you feel a desire towards someone, that means you want to have sex with them. And if you can't have sex with them, then for whatever reason, then you need to just shut that down, whatever it is, right? That's like most of us. And so we never learn. We never learn how to distinguish what our desires mean for other people because our desires for other people aren't just sexual desires. We just get really scared that they are, and so we shut it down. And what I call it is the levels of attraction. And you're attracted to people in different ways all the time. And all of us are different. You know, sexuality is so fluid. Sex and sexuality is so fluid. It's so vast. There's so much there. So it really is all a spectrum. And I want to like emphasize that point because I don't want someone to take away from this conversation like, oh, this is exactly right. All, you know, because it's not. Because where you're at right now as a sexual human isn't where you were 10 years ago, isn't where you were 5 years ago, might even not be where you were last week, you know. And so really being able to distinguish these things and stay in that inquiry and conversation is so important. And so the levels of desire, levels of attraction that I teach people about is, you know, all the way from like, you know, when you feel like really repulsed for like it's you didn't have to know them. You just like, you get in the same room with them and you're like, oh,
I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Like, I gotta go. I feel sick.
It's like there can even be like a repulsion to people as well. So there's like attraction and there's like being repelled, right? And so then there's also like being neutral. Like you can actually look at a door and look at another human and be like, I have similar feelings towards this door and this human, right? And then you can also have platonic attraction. You know, we're attracted to our friends. You know, you meet people and you're like, hey, like, we should go get coffee, not because like you want to sleep with them, but because they're a cool person, you know, and you want to connect with them. And then there's, you know, attraction, like you know, maybe it's like a physical attraction, but it doesn't have to do with sex. I call it like a sensual attraction. It's like you want to be close to them. You want to hold their hand. You want to give them a hug. You want to give them a kiss on the forehead. You know, it has nothing to do with sex. It's just that you want to show physical, you know, connection with that person. And then there's sexual attraction because you are sexually attracted to people. And you can just be sexually attracted to someone. You don't have to like them. Like, you can literally, we've all had this experience where you're sexually attracted to someone and you're also like, why? Because I don't like them.
Oh, I know. I went to couples therapy once, and we were sitting in the room, right, actually twice in my life I've gone. The first time I went, I had the greatest therapist, right, Imago Therapy. She was great. Mm-hmm. And she just looked and said, you two are done. We both looked and said, here's the deal. You may love each other, but you do not like each other. You cannot even stand each other. Mm-hmm. And so that is not relationship building material. And I remember walking out of there, and I felt so free.
Well, because it's being able to distinguish that, you know? Because then there's romantic attraction, and then there's even, like, spiritual attraction, and there's all different ways you can be attracted to someone. And, like, being able to distinguish that, then you can be, like, you don't even have to go to the therapist. It's like, oh, yeah, like, I want to have sex with you, but, like, I don't like you.
Yeah.
You know?
But aren't you talking about, let's just jump to this real quick, because part of what we're describing here in the moment is we really are talking about a version of experiencing ourselves that pretty much all of the programs out there that say know yourself, love yourself, care for yourself, leave this out.
Mm.
Or it's not the first thing you talk about in your coaching session.
Mm-hmm.
It's at the bottom. There's only one program I know in the world that is not a program that you would do, not a love and sex coach, not that, but a general program that makes you look at all of your sexual relationships. There's only one program in the world that makes you do it if you want to take this program. And millions of people take this program. And that is any of the 12-step programs, Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous. You do not do a fourth step without, they have a sex worksheet. So,
what? I did not know that about that program.
I'm probably going to get called because I'm giving secrets out. But my point is this. We don't know how to experience ourselves. I love the work you do.
Mm-hmm.
For me, when I talk to you, I'm reminded of a few things.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't thought there was anybody really like you doing this anymore. I know Dr. Kelly, right? She's not doing it right now, but I knew she was a breakthrough pioneer. And honestly, both of us graduated from the same doctoral program, and both of us took a lot of grief for our life path from a very prestigious program. They banned me because I thought I was holding crystals in my hands. That's how crazy that place is. But when you say experience yourself, you're really talking about a full, holistic view.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, what does your body like? Actually listening to your body. Because that's what, like attraction is. Attraction is listening to your body and then also being willing to give your body what it needs. And that's where, you know, the breakdown is with people as well, is that, you know, it's also wrong to, like, give your body pleasure. And I'm like, man, no. Like, no. Give your body what it needs. It's actually, like, feeding you. When you give your body the pleasure that it desires, and I'm not just talking about sex. Like, I'm talking about, like, if your body wants to roll around in the dirt. Like, if you were, like, really listening to your body and your body was like, you know what sounds delicious right now? Just, like, caking mud all over my body.
Oh my God. I actually did mud wrestling when I was younger. That's for another show. I can't believe the stuff you're bringing up here. I'm like having like a hot flash.
But what it is, but it's like being willing to actually listen to your body, listen to your desires, being able to give your body what it needs, whatever that might be. But then the second part of that, you know, we're also saying this in the context of relationships and, you know, not just discovering what you want, but also being able to articulate what you want as well. And that's like the next step, you know, being able to, because if you don't know what you want, you can't say what you want. You can't say what you want. You can't get what you want.
Yeah. I'm telling you, this is really where this is for me is the pivotal core essence of your work. You do a lot of things with people. You help people in discovery, but you also help people really step fully into who they are. But the hardest thing for any of us, like I learned on a call where I thought, well, like everybody was like on the same page, the same Elliot page.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think that would cause such a great discussion. Now, in the end, I will say, it turned out well. But I want to ask you this question. We're talking about experiencing yourself. We're talking about myths and misconceptions. But I have to say, and this has been odd to me. First of all, you have to understand the age that the generational, what the stage was like when I was growing up and a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
If you understand, this was a generation of love everybody, free love, peace sign. If you understand that Woodstock, I was at Woodstock. I don't remember it, but that's just something. But if you grow up in that space, but then the space changes, what happened to all the people like me that grew up in that space? There are some of us that stayed in that space, that feeling about ourselves.
Right.
There's some of us that when we're in relationship trouble, we seek out help. But I want to ask you, what are the consequences of not being honest with yourself? I know, right?
That's a great question. What are the consequences? So one of the things that I asked people, I have a market research survey, and also like the questions that I ask my clients as well. It's like, you know, what are the things that you're dealing, what are your current biggest challenges, and what's getting in the way of you getting what you want? And then I ask, what's the cost of that? Because you let those things stay in your way, which is kind of, you know, what we're talking about, is what's the impact? What is the impact going to be on your life? And what people say, and what I see actually happen is I'll be miserable. People don't even want to answer that question. Mostly what I get as a response is I don't even want to answer that question. I don't even want to know. I don't want to think about, like, what if these things continue, if these blocks continue, if I continue to not listen to my body, if I continue to not listen to my partner, if I continue to deny myself the desires that I know that I have, I cannot even fathom how miserable I would be.
Oh, right. Oh, my gosh. Look, I want to take a short break, but before I do, I've been talking about the work you do. I would love people to know what's upcoming. What have you created for people? How can they engage with you? How can they work with you? Tell us the best way to do that.
Beautiful. Yeah, I have a new course. It's called Love Deeper. And we actually go into a lot of the stuff that we talked about today.
More customized.
More customized. But yeah, it's called Love Deeper. How you can apply is go to my website. It's ElizabethAnnCunningham.com. Yes, I realize my name is really long. It's Elizabeth with a Z, Ann without an E, and then Cunningham like clever pig.
I love it. Very good. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, common myths and misconceptions. I'm going to share a little story, and I hope Elizabeth Ann doesn't mind me just sharing the story when we come back. Because my awakening moving to Seattle and how I saw my life and how I saw the people in my life was shocking. to some of my friends, and I never could get it. Let's take a short break. We'll be right back.
Did you know that when we talk about the Earth's ecosystems, the most important ecosystem has been left out? You. We created the ecosystem approach to recapture human potential.
Find us at theecosystemapproach.org.
Join us every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time for the Ecosystem Approach Show with Jason and Patricia on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Healing has a ripple effect. One person's healing affects everyone around them. This is where the power of sharing our stories can be so important. Tune in to Playing on the Edge Radio with Megan Edge each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Megan provides you with ways of sustaining radical and powerful changes in your life. Enact the power of radical change. To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.
You're driven, and it totally shows. Your career is taking off. You're killing it in the mom game. But did your health needs make it on the plate this week? Tune in to the Boss Up Babe radio show, where Carissa Adkins helps babes show up, boss up, and thrive. Every second and fourth Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Become the boss babe you were meant to be. To sign up for one of Carissa's group coaching programs, visit 365dailyhustle.com. Parenting isn't about perfection. I think we all know that. Parenting is about being present and honest, having compassion for your child and for yourself, communicating consciously and loving unconditionally. Tune in to the Awakened Parent Project with Susan Dolce every first and third Tuesday at noon Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn to be an empowered parent through the techniques of the conscious parenting community. To learn more about Susan, visit SusanDolce.com.
It takes courage to step into your calling and go for your dream. Sabotage monsters can get in your way, preventing you from reaching your potential. You can choose to struggle alone, or you can choose community and support, someone to walk beside you, meeting you where you are. If you are ready to make real and lasting change, Coach Christine Clark is here for you. Find out more about one-on-one coaching and group programs with Coach Christine at sunglowtransformation.com.
Ready to branch out? Take a leap of faith. Tune in to Get Rooted Radio with Erica Gifford Mills on TransformationTalkRadio.com to equip, empower, and enlighten yourself. Erica will energize and excite you to power up your passionate dreams that set your soul on fire. So, get fearlessly ready and get powerfully rooted in your yes to live it up, love it up, and let it go. Visit GetRootedRadio.com.
Hey everybody, welcome back. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. If you have any questions for us, give us a call. But more importantly, what you want to do is connect with Elizabeth. You could do that in a number of different ways. They can also get you on Facebook too, right?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook. It's a business page. It's just Elizabeth Ann Cunningham, Love Coach. I'm on Instagram. Pretty much any handle that I have on social media is ELZ Cunningham. So if you go on Instagram, TikTok, I have one video on TikTok, but if you want to look at it, you totally can. It's ELZ Cunningham.
Thank you.
Yeah.
One of the things I love is we've been talking about what does it mean to discover ourselves, but what does it mean when we're looking at love, when we're looking at love and sex? What are we looking at when we're looking at monogamy versus non-monogamy? But the point is there are things we believe that are either a myth, they're a myth or a misconception,
mm-hmm.
or there's something else that falls in the range so far from the reality of what something is. And this is one of these areas, mm-hmm. right? You know, my friend agonized after reading those books and watching the movie. And she didn't agonize from a perspective of longing. She agonized over the perspective of how does she become herself?
Mm-hmm.
How does she face that? And then she made the mistake of telling her husband at the time what she really felt about the film.
Mm-hmm.
Not together anymore. But these things are roadblocks into anyone having a healthy conversation about love and sex, aren't they?
Yeah, well, and just to say, like, I don't know if it was a mistake of your friend to tell her husband.
I don't think, no, it wasn't.
If you tell someone your deepest desires and they're like, I don't want to be with you anymore, I think it's actually a really productive conversation.
Yeah,
that's
totally. Totally was.
Like, okay, great, we're not on the same page. Awesome. And not to, like, diminish any heartbreak that happened or anything like that, obviously. There's a lot of misconceptions. Just in the realm of like sex and sexuality, there's a lot of misconceptions. But definitely inside of the realm of non-monogamy, and there's a lot that, you know, non-monogamy is this huge umbrella, you know, and I don't think that people realize that. I think that people, you know, you have an idea in your mind, and this is just what we do as humans as well, is that we hear something, we have an idea of what that is in our mind, and then it becomes that thing, right? And so a lot of what people think that non-monogamy is an excuse to cheat. So it's just like, or that, you know, one partner, this is what I hear often, because a lot of times people think of non-monogamy inside of a already existing relationship. And so that's also a misconception as well, because you can be a non-monogamous or polyamorous or swinger or relationship anarchist or all of the different terms that fall under this umbrella as a single person, right? So that's another misconception. But when we think about it inside of like a pre-existing, you know, coupled relationship, one of the things that comes up is like, oh, well, one person is coercing the other person into doing this. Like it's somehow manipulative, right? Because if it's based off of cheating and, you know, you're having it work in your relationship, then, well, one person must not be satisfied, or there's always someone that's not satisfied, or, you know, no one's ever getting their needs fully met, and it's so interesting because some people are like, oh, well, women are non-monogamous because they, you know, aren't getting their emotional needs met, but men are non-monogamous because they're not getting their sexual needs met. And so then there starts to be misconceptions, like even with like gender. But I think really the biggest ones that I hear are that, yeah, it's just an excuse to cheat. It's just a phase. And that you can't have committed working relationships inside of that structure. Those are probably the top.
I think that one is one of the biggest. I think there are two that really hit me up. Mm-hmm. One is it's impossible, and it's not even that. It's like language, like it's impossible to have a committed relationship. See, that's the language, right? Mm-hmm. It's impossible. And yet there are people got it nailed down.
Mm-hmm.
But there are reasons that we conjure these things up. You know, one of the other ones, really, that I've heard quite often is that's just a reason to cheat.
Mm-hmm.
That's a reason to cheat.
Mm-hmm.
We really need to tease out in our society this emotional part of this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have two friends. I have one in particular. And I don't say very much unless I'm asked. But I'm listening to one of my friends talk about their partner.
Mm-hmm.
And their partner has this relationship with this other person that is somewhat in the field of something they do together as spiritual practitioners. Yet, all of the really important conversations they're having with that other person. Emotionally, they're not in the relationship. And yet, as a society, we do not know how to handle that. And ultimately, that causes a real rift. Mm. See, we don't know how to communicate about how we feel.
Mm.
And when you really look at it, again, this is my favorite line. Maybe you should go get a therapist. That's my favorite line to my friends. That's my favorite line. You should go see somebody. Yeah. Don't talk to me about it because I know what my answer is to it. I mean, if you never have an emotional conversation and somebody is going to another person to get that need filled, you got to look at that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it doesn't mean what we make it to mean. We have made non-monogamy to mean a whole lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
That when you talk to people, it doesn't mean. And doesn't that cause consequences?
Yeah, one, I mean, it causes unsafe spaces. I mean, if we're just like broaden it out all the way. It causes unsafe spaces because if something that you're doing is perceived as wrong or bad or immoral by the people that you're surrounded by, then it's not safe for you to talk about. And so therefore it's hard to get help around or, you know, because we exist in community. And the thing is about, you know, when we have this misconception about monogamous relationships that, you know, you have to get all of your needs met by this one person. And if you're not getting all of your needs met by this one person, then there's something wrong with you. Or like you're too needy or you're asking for too much or you have to get it, you know, there's only certain outlets that you're allowed to get that need met from. And it has to be a family member or a friend or a therapist. Like those are your only outlets outside of your one romantic partner.
Yeah. Right? And that isn't the solution. I mean, if I could take back every time I have said to one of my friends to go get a therapist instead of go see you, there may be a different outcome because, you know, what we're looking at is a level of discovery.
Yeah.
These are human beings discovering themselves.
Yeah. And you're absolutely right. And the thing is that when you take off that lid of, you know, you can only do it this certain way and you take off that lid and then all of a sudden other things become safe, what comes out of that is creativity. And like that's actually what non-monogamy is. It is like, it's being creative. It's discovering how you feel about other people and then creating relationships based off of how you actually feel about someone and not how you're supposed to be in relationship with other people. And so it really does like bust that out. And then you get to be creative and then you get to look at, you know, what needs do I have? What are the needs that I have? What an amazing question to ask yourself. What needs do I have? And how can I get those met? And that's what, you know, that's people that come to me. They're like, well, I can't do that. I can't go ask my friend to do this because then they'll tell this person and then that's not safe. Or I can't ask my family for this because they think that I'm crazy.
Yeah.
So that's not safe, you know? Yeah. And so it's like when you kind of bust up, you know, that like supposed to or have to or should about relationships, then it really starts to, you can get curious about what you need and discover what you need. And then you can ask for that around you. And then other people can do that as well. Because that's the other, you know, myth and misconception about non-monogamy is that it's really selfish. And it's like, actually, it's all about, you know, how are we communicating? How are we relating to one another? How are our needs getting met? It's like this whole creative, you know, creative creation. It's this whole creative, you know, relationship structure.
Yeah.
Right, that you can really operate inside of and build together.
You know, and I think there's one thing, too, that I'd like you to talk about, too, there's a level of understanding and appreciation. There's a level of compassion. There's a level of empathy. There are emotions that must be engaged in order for this to work.
Yeah.
That in a regular day-to-day relationship, you don't even touch. You don't talk about compassion. You don't talk about empathy. mm-hmm. right? You have a bigger conversation about the football playoffs than you do yeah. mm-hmm. about that, or how the chili wasn't hot enough, or, I mean, I'm kind of overstating it and generalizing.
Yeah.
But the point is, we are human beings, and we feel things,
mm-hmm.
express things.
Mm-hmm.
I think the greatest lesson for people, and I'd love for you to talk about this, because there is a now what. And when somebody is discovering themselves in this way about love and sex,
mm-hmm.
you have to get help if you can't figure it out yourself. This is one of these areas that I love saying, you may not know what you don't know, but yeah. your go-to will be to shut down.
Mm-hmm. Or the thing that the knowledge that you already have is all the knowledge that you need.
Yeah. So what happens now with this? I'm joking about my friend, but that experience with her, I learned more about myself, what I believed in, what I was willing to stand for. And I learned that I'm not going to let other people tell me or shame me into who the people are in my life. See, that's a great lesson for me. You know, that is one of those blessings.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went home and we're talking and, you know, I was talking about my friend and how we were in the same program together and we're sitting at a Thanksgiving dinner mm-hmm. around the table. And it's like, what does Tina do? I said, oh, she's an erotic dancer.
Mm-hmm.
One of the young people beautifully said, oh, like the actress in the movie Independence Day that married Will Smith. I said, bingo.
Exactly like that.
Exactly like that. This is like a 12-year-old. But
yeah.
It begs the now what question, because see, for somebody like me, there's a now what question. That may not seem like a big thing, but when you're sitting around the family, you have to face yourself mm-hmm. and you have to say, I'm not going to say make something up for what she does. She's an erotic dancer.
Yeah.
She's my best buddy in Seattle.
Right.
But now what for people, Elizabeth? Now what? When you have this discovery, when you're on the journey, they need to have a place where they can be in discovery. So what do you do?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I mean, I think the first things are just to be compassionate and empathetic with yourself first and just allow whatever emotions come up for you and whatever thoughts and feelings that you have just to be okay. Like, that's step one for me. Before you even take action, just, like, allow yourself some compassion and empathy for yourself and what's coming up for you. And then step two is be courageous. Like, this journey takes guts. And, you know, I see you as a really courageous person and just being like, yeah, this is my buddy and she's an erotic dancer, you know, and like a lot of people wouldn't, and no shame to anybody who, you know, wouldn't have said that. But it's just saying, like, it takes guts. It takes guts to actually say, you know, what you desire and what's true. Like, I have a friend who's an erotic dancer, right? Or, like, what's true for me is I have multiple partners, or what's true for me is that I'm gay, or what's true for me is that I'm transgender, or whatever it is, right? Like, it takes guts to say that. And then the other thing, like, in expanding that is to find community. You know, don't do this by yourself. You know, whether that be, you know, with someone like me as a coach, or a therapist, or whether it be like a more of like a support community. I mean, there's so many communities, and like, you know, yay for living in the time of the internet, where it's just like, we can be so connected, you know, find community, find education for yourself. You know, there's podcasts, there's books, there's courses, there's, you know, there's so much that you can explore and expand into. And I think where we get stuck is we think that we're the only ones.
Yeah.
You know, we think that we're alone, and you're so not. You're so not alone.
Yeah. I think the thing we didn't talk about today, but I know we'll be doing more shows together, is mm-hmm. I'm not dismissing.
Mm-hmm.
In no way I'm not dismissing, for those of you listening, what you have to face in your life when you have this moment of discovery. Everything from your religion, everything from your culture, right? Because we got two white women talking about this here today, or at least let's assume that. But it's not the same for every culture.
Right.
And so that's why deciding to take this journey alone and feel like you're alone and feel like you're invisible and feel like you're not heard, pain beyond belief. Even if you decide to choose your route, whatever it is, people have to work with somebody, and you're an expert in this field, that get where they are. Isn't that important?
I think it's really important, and I think that it's really important to work with experts because, yeah, you do. You're not only talking to someone who can, tell you that you're not alone and that you're not crazy and that there's nothing wrong with, like, there is nothing wrong with you. Like, again, if you take nothing away from this show, there's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with what you desire. And to have that connection with a professional where they can give you the tools and resources specific to you, right? Because podcasts and books and courses are amazing. They're great. I love them. I started, where my journey started was with The Ethical Slut. You know, I love that book. The Ethical Slut couldn't tell me how to how to navigate a conversation with my mom about how I'm, like, sleeping with multiple people and dating multiple people, or to have the conversation with my partners about how I want to do that, you know? And so really have, or, like, with my specific circumstances, you know, like I said, like, I at the time when I came out, I guess, as polyamorous, you know, I was living in Kansas. And so there were more barriers for me at that time, you know, than there are now. So actually talking to a professional about it is not only going to help you, like, mentally and emotionally, but it's also going to help you navigate and, like, know the next step to take and to have someone who's there for you specifically.
Yeah, I'm like you. I mean, the first time somebody handed me I think it was a trilogy. I can't remember now, three or four books. I still have them, by the way. Was the Sleeping Beauty trilogy by Anne Rice under a pseudonym. And the reason that came to me is Anne Rice passed away this December on my birthday. It's one of my greatest regrets of someone I really wanted to interview and just dragged my feet on. But when they hand me that book, you know, or the trilogy, or the, I think there are four books, The Claiming of Sleeping Beauty. Honestly, I didn't know what I was reading. And then when I asked them, what were you thinking when you gave me these books? And the answer to that is for another show. But the short version is, I knew you'd read them with an open heart and appreciate them. And someday along your own life journey, you may need them to understand yourself better and others. And that was the end of that. But see, that's what you do to people. You're helping people understand who they are, what they're doing, this moment in time, or some future date. And stop guilting and shaming. Isabel, thank you so much. Isn't it funny that people gave us those books, huh? That's interesting.
No, isn't that wonderful?
It's wonderful. I would have never known about that. And then I read all of Anne Rice's other books.
Yes.
Please remind us how we can connect with you, what the courses are you're doing, all your social media, and then I'd love to know your personal message. Thank you for bringing this conversation to the forefront today.
You're so welcome. Thank you so much for having me on. This has just been beautiful. I just got, like, shivers from that last share, so I'm just, like, sitting in that. Yes, how people can reach me, my website is ElizabethAnnCunningham.com. You can reach out to me via my website. You can apply to be a one-on-one client. You can apply for my course, which is called Love Deeper. And you can also reach out to me on Instagram at Elves Cunningham, E-L-V Cunningham. You can find me on Facebook. You can join my Facebook community, which is called the Loving Deeply Community. So definitely join that community. And we do. We talk about love and sex and relationships and what we're dealing with and what we can discover and go and really go deeper in love on together.
I love it. Thank you so much. And I just want to say for those of you that are texting me, somehow people have gotten my cell phone number, so I try to read the text. Yes, Elizabeth is coming back. Elizabeth's going to be, we're going to be talking more. By the way, they can send you topics if they want to.
Absolutely. And also, like, reach out to me. If you reach out to me on Instagram.
Yeah.
I answer questions on Instagram. I make videos answering questions. So message me on Instagram what your question is. I'll make a video about it because if you have the question, then other people have that question too.
Okay.
Right. And you'll remain anonymous, I promise.
Okay. Thank you. See, that was the next question that came up. And the other thing is Elizabeth going to do a show on some of the, everything's abbreviated. Is Elizabeth going to do a show on Elliot Page, LGBTQ, love and sex? I don't know. We'll let her think about that.
Okay.
And then the last question is, yes, it's not Anne Rice. It's A-N, and the name she used, but now it's Anne Rice, was Roquelaure, R-O-Q-U-E-L-A-U-R-E. Elizabeth, you're coming back. People want to know if you're coming back.
I'm coming back.
All right.
My own show on the network, too.
Tell them.
On Tuesdays, 3 p.m. Pacific time, I have my very own show. It's the Elizabeth Cunningham Show, Courageously Expanding Love. Yes. And so you can tune into my show as well.
Oh, my gosh. More questions. I don't know if I'm going to do a show on these books and read from them. I might. I like that.
I kind of like
that. I liked out there. We love you. I love your questions. Honestly, if I butchered the abbreviated message, I'm sorry, it's on my cell phone. thank you for getting us to say goodbye to guilt and shame.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the hosts of this program, and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good Thursday to you. Benny Mathers here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for around the cell. Well, good thing, folks. So far, no major blocking or accidents to report at the moment. Just a small little stop-and-go issue heading into downtown Seattle around Jackson and Cherry Street. Everywhere else, traffic's looking pretty good. Enjoy your Thursday. Stay tuned coming up next. After the news weather, it's unapologetically favored. It's your host, Courtney Cottrell. Walk in your purpose. Your biggest loss can be your biggest blessing. Stay tuned.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. President Biden is heaping praise on retiring Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer.
His opinions are practical, sensible, and nuanced. It reflects his belief that the job of a judge is not to lay down a rule, but to get it right.
During a ceremony with Breyer at the White House, Biden expressed the nation's gratitude for a remarkable career in public service. Breyer is stepping down after nearly three decades on the High Court. The 83-year-old liberal justice plans to retire at the end of the Supreme Court's current term in late June or early July, contingent on the confirmation of his successor. President Biden's confirming he will nominate a black woman to the Supreme Court. He said he's sticking to his campaign promise and will pick a historical nominee by late February. One choice that's getting early buzz is Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson. She's a former Breyer clerk who serves on the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals. Stocks are mostly on the rise as investors digest some big economic news. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose by more than 500 points in early trading before leveling off. The Nasdaq has turned negative while the S&P 500 is flat. The move comes after it was revealed GDP grew by 5.7% last year as the nation began to recover from the coronavirus pandemic that ravaged the economy in 2020. A new COVID-19 subvariant is in Southern California. Dina Kodiak with details.
Public health officials confirm there are at least 14 cases of the BA2 variant in California. It's been detected in 5 counties, including Los Angeles, Orange, and San Diego counties. BA2 is a subvariant of the Omicron variant and has already been identified in 40 countries. The World Health Organization says it's spreading quickly, but it's too early to tell if it's more infectious or deadly than other variants.
Southwest Airlines is admitting the Omicron variant will hurt business in the current quarter. The Texas-based airline expects to lose money this quarter before making a profit beginning in March. Southwest is expecting revenue of up to 15% below what it earned in the first quarter of 2019. However, incoming CEO Bob Jordan said the worst appears to be behind us. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
Why does Walgreens offer copays as low as $0 and 90-day refills? Because we care about Medicare, so you don't have to. I mean, do you really care to hear me go on about same-day prescription delivery making your life easier? Or how there's a pharmacy expert available 24/7 and one-click refill? Well, I just did anyways. Fill your Medicare prescriptions with Walgreens and save.
$0 copays apply to Tier 1 generic drugs and select plans with Walgreens as a preferred pharmacy. Restrictions apply. See Walgreens.com/Medicare for complete details.
Watching Taxpayer calculate your refund feels like climbing to the apex of a roller coaster.
Here we go!
And flying down the track. At maximum refund speed. Start for free and get your guaranteed maximum refund. Taxpayer, file fearlessly.
And let's go ahead and take a look now at your alternative talk weather outlook for Thursday. What was the areas of fog this morning? Turning to partly sunny skies later on this afternoon. High temperatures around 44, 45 degrees. Tonight, the fog will roll back in. Low temperatures dropping down to about 33. For Friday, much of the same. Areas of morning fog to start things out. Turning to mostly sunny skies yet again by Friday afternoon. High temperatures around 49. Partly cloudy skies for Friday night. Lows back down to about 36. Clouds and sunshine for Saturday. Highs around 50. With a chance of rain returning for Sunday.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
Get ready for inspirational, motivational, purpose-driven conversation with Courtney Cottrell and Dr. Pat Basile. This is Unapologetically Favored, a show where you will learn to be yourself, love yourself, and walk in your purpose without fear or worry. Courtney is a leader of many and a friend to all. She is a passionate speaker, author, and 21-year active duty Master Chief with the United States Navy. Here to show you that obstacles are everywhere. But the moment you stop letting your setbacks define you, you start to see yourself in a brilliant new light. Find your confidence, own your power, and never apologize for who you are. Unapologetically Favored starts now.
I love that opener.
I love that opener, too.
I love that.
Seems so powerful.
I love that.
So,
I was talking Master Chief. Is it Master Chief?
Master Chief.
Okay.
Yes. I'm going to do some updates because it's been 23 years this year.
Whew.
You know what?
Look at you.
Sometimes your biggest losses can be your biggest wins. That is
what
you
kept me. Let's talk about that. That's today's show, isn't it?
No, and that is today's show. I was sitting there contemplating and thinking, what are we going to talk about today? I had so much. And the things that I've been kind of experiencing, you know, with the shifts in my life and the changes in my life, I thought this would be the perfect topic because going into the new year, you know, we have this new slogan now, you know, renew you in 2022, right?
That's right.
I said, this would be a good thing to talk about to help start the mind shift for people so that when they're looking at things as they're going through trials and tribulations, they're not looking at it as a loss. They get to the other side and realize, it was a purpose for this. It was a plan for this. And I have a story I want to share later on.
I want you to get right at it because part of what I love about this topic is one of the things we always do, and that is we become our own worst enemy. And
yes.
You're going to talk about that because, I mean, The key, though, what you're going to share today is if we can get in the groove of discovering we are doing this.
Right.
That we are becoming our own worst enemy. If we could, oh, there I am again, and stop it.
Right.
Oh. So, right. Not that you have any experience in this at all, but has there ever been a time where lost it, not a good experience?
Oh, definitely. I actually had a mental breakdown, and my coworker thought I was crazy because I had gotten to the point where I share this story, you know, in my memoir, I share Unapologetically Favored, I share this story, how I had that mental breakdown because I was judging myself and comparing myself to others. And I tell people, you cannot measure what you're going through looking at somebody else using their measuring stick. It doesn't work that way. But because we have this, we all strive for perfection. When I do coaching, I'll ask, you know, what is your version of perfection? What does that mean to you? Because for some people, perfection could be, I just threw the covers back on my bed. Somebody else's, you know, reality of perception could be, I did the 45 angled sheets with the fitted sheets. I put my covers back. I fluffed my pillows. I threw my decorative. That's their perception of perfection. But we get into a habit of thinking perfection means zero flaws, zero defect. There is not a zero defect world out there at all. And we have to accept that, but that's the hardest thing for a lot of people to do.
It is hard. And yet at the same time, it sets us up for failure after failure after failure.
Oh, yeah.
And I love using the word failure. I get so many emails from some of my colleagues that they say I'm obsessed with the word. I said, I don't know how to sugarcoat this the way people feel. You know, yeah, we could call it slip-ups. Yeah, we could call it down a court. But we know. I mean, look, try to tell an Olympic athlete that's playing a sport and coming down that ski slope or snowshoe, which I'm going to come back in my next life. That's what I'm going to be doing. Coming down in their snowshoe, and they're in first place, and they're holding on to that. And the next person comes down by 1/100th of a point.
Right.
Try to tell them you're still a winner, even though you didn't win the gold. Now,
right.
I know we try to say that to people.
Right.
But what that person does with that experience is all what makes the difference in their future, doesn't it?
Oh, my goodness. You know, it's so crazy that you say that, because I had a conversation with a young man yesterday, and I said, you never let your past experiences define who you are today. That does not mean anything. What matters the most is how you rise up out of that dark place, how you rise up out of your mindset, because in your head, you're not the perfect individual. But again, there is no perfect individual. You're perfect according to what you think your perfection is. But don't overthink it. There is, your past does not define who you are, how you handle it, how you deal with it, how you use that as a stepping stone towards your future. That is what defines you. And I had a story where at one of my commands a couple of years ago, you know, I failed a fitness weigh-in. We had to get weighed in. And there's certain criteria, certain, you know, this weight that according to your height, you have to weigh a certain amount, which I think any go back and relook at that. Kind of. But anyways, I didn't meet the mark. So I failed it. I remember that day I walked in and talked to my supervisor, and I was in tears because I wanted to be that perfect senior chief at the time. I wanted to be that perfect leader, the perfect, you know, motivator, influencer, mentor towards the junior sailors. And I remember talking, and I was like, you know what, this is not me. But I was tore up on the inside because self, you know, like let down or that disappointment, it really hurts. And I went to talk to one of my good girlfriends, and she looked at me, she said, Courtney, I need you to pull your head out your butt. You're going to have this one day, you're going to get over this, and tomorrow you're going to hit the deck running. You're going to come back, you're going to do your job, you're not going to let nobody see you sweat, you're going to pick up the pieces, you're going to keep moving. And I said, you know what? As bad as I wanted to sit in traffic that day, I was like, you have a good point. Because people are watching you. They're going to be watching you to see how you handle the situation, how you handle your circumstance. How are you getting, they want to know, how are you going to climb over this mountain that you have just created? It's all in how you handle it. You have to bounce back. Your comeback should always be strong.
Yeah, I love that we're talking about this because you really are on the pulse of what people are experiencing right now inside of them. And I was just talking to somebody earlier today in a previous show, and we were talking about pent-up, like that pent-up, you know, that pent-up stuff.
Yes.
And what you're talking about today is when we can become your biggest blessing.
Right.
But you have to do something.
Right.
Right?
Right.
You cannot be walking around like a time bomb.
Or woe with me.
Oh, that's a good one.
You cannot do the woe with me. Because and I remember a couple of episodes we were talking about, like, the new generation and this instant gratification, and I call it the Amazon Prime era, where people want you to deliver what they want when they want it. That's not how life works. You get out of life what you put into it. If you hit a roadblock, that's fine. You're not the only one to do it. You're not the first one to do it. You will never be the last to do it. You pick yourself up. You look at that fail as your first attempt in learning. You learn that lesson in it, and you say, you know what, that hurt. You remember how it made you feel on the inside, your emotion, the disappointment. You're like, I'm not doing that again.
Mm.
You know, and that's the part that we need to get through. People need to learn that resiliency piece to bounce back so they're not criticizing when they are, you know, hitting a roadblock, or they're not feeling like they're less than because they hit that one point in their life where it might be a little difficult. You know, we've all been there. How you handle it without, you know, that self-judgment, that's what's going to define you.
Exactly. Oh, my God. I can't believe you're even talking about this. For those of you just tuning in, let me just tell you right here. Unapologetically favored Courtney Cottrell, Courtney A. Cottrell. This is about walking your purpose.
Oh, yeah.
But we're talking
always
about something that all y'all right now can really appreciate. Your biggest loss can be your biggest blessing. Why did Courtney pick this for today? Well, one reason is we are not, like, oblivious to the fact that people have lost here in these past 24, 28 months. So that's number one. But how can we learn from Courtney? How can we learn about how to look at that loss and turn it into something? Okay, here we go. Let's talk about what our own worst enemy looks like. But, Benny, we're going to skip the break. Let's talk about a reason, a season, or a lifetime. Here's the deal. My 11th birthday on December 11th, on my 11th birthday, my mom, loved my mom, but we didn't have a lot of money. My mom is getting my birthday gift and gets caught shoplifting. And off we go to the jail.
Oh, no.
No, I'm not kidding. And, like, I don't understand all the paperwork and everything and what happened. I think my dad actually paid it off, to be honest with you. But that was it. And so we're getting ready to leave, and I turned to the master sergeant at the desk. I was young. And I said, can you give me my birthday gift that my mom got? And actually, my mom didn't buy it. I said, I want to take my birthday gift home. And he looked at me. And he said, I can't give that to you. I said, but that's my birthday gift.
Oh.
And he said something like, but you didn't buy it. You got that illegally. And I looked at this cop, and I got cops in my family. And I said, I don't care. I said, I have $1.50, and I will pay you for my birthday gift. Now, what has that story got to do with any of this? That is a young person not buying into my poor mom.
Right.
Who, I don't know what possessed my mom. My mom laughed about it later, and she said, I think the devil made me do it. But whatever that was, as a child, I must have learned I could either be mad at my mom, whatever that anger is.
Mm-hmm.
But she was the master at shifting energy.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk with you. Unapologetically favored means that. Oh, yeah. And it means that there's a whole lot of things we can learn
about
who we are, what we do. So I want to ask you this. A reason, a season, a lifetime.
Yep.
How does how we handle each of those shape whether we get the life we want or we get a life we really don't want?
That's all, yeah. Oof, man. So yesterday I had a conversation with a young man, and he was going through some things to the point that he contemplated suicide Friday night. So I wanted to talk to him because I get it. And one of my conversations with him was, everybody's given a bag in the beginning of their life. You have a bag, I have a bag, everybody has a bag. The size of that bag depends on the experiences, the emotions, and the people that you meet throughout your life. The more things you have been through in your life, no matter how old you are, your bag could possibly be heavier than my bag. The more people that I have acquired through my journey in life can make my bag heavy. But as you go on this journey of life, you have to understand that you can't carry everything in this bag with you for the rest of your life. At some point, you have to sit this bag down, open it up, and say, you know what? This individual, it was fun while it lasted, but you are no longer serving a purpose in my life. Cut them off. This experience that was negative and it hurts, I have healed from this. I don't want to dwell on it no more. It's not doing me any good. It's not good for my mental or physical health. I make amends. I forgive you. Get rid of it. These emotions, this anger that you've been hanging on to for so long, this fear you've been hanging on for so long, this relationship you've been hanging on, this dead-end job, whoever, these friends are leading you down the road, you got to cut them off. Because everything is not meant to be a part of your life permanently. They have a reason or a season, or possibly you'll end down to that one friend that you're going to have for a lifetime.
Yeah.
But you have to sit back and analyze your life to figure out who or what those things are that no longer serve a purpose in your life. Because that's what could possibly be holding you back from your biggest lesson, your biggest win, your biggest, that's what's holding you back. And we're scared to cut people off or, you know, just get rid of what's no longer serving us because we have an attachment. Or you are so, you know, you've already been hurt one time. You don't want to hurt again by letting it go because now you're vulnerable. You don't want to experience that pain again for the second time. So you just keep pushing it down, pushing it down, pushing it down. But that is why you can't get ahead. Make that loss happen so you can get that blessing in your life that was meant for you. Hanging on to things are blocking you from reaching the top. That biggest loss, it's going to hurt. But in the end, it's going to turn out to be the best thing that's ever happened to you. A reason, a season, or a lifetime, everybody's not supposed to, they're not meant to go with you through your entire life. So that is where, you know, that's where I got that from. I thought about that. Like, people need to understand that. It means a lot. But it takes self-evaluation for you to get through that piece.
Yeah. And, you know, I want to ask you about this because you've been through it. So you're not just talking from some textbook that's been on the show.
Right.
You're talking with people because you work with people to help them understand that, you know, stuckness can be a state of mind and nothing more than that, but you got to have some tools.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And so, you know, let's talk about, for a minute, what you created with Unapologetically Favored and what has inspired you to create more tools for people, more tools, more books, right?
Because
you're not done, right? You're on a roll. Because there are more people now that feel that they're stuck than ever been.
Right. Oh, yeah. And it's bad because the last 2 years have kind of uncovered that. The last 2 years has revealed a lot to people that before, because they were constantly going, they didn't realize their self-worth. They didn't realize where they were at that moment. They didn't realize, you know, where their children were at or the person they were married to or the relationship they were in. It has revealed a lot to a lot of people. And I have taken all of the stories, the friends, the conversations I've had, and just said, you know, people need to keep being fed. They need that motivation. They need to understand that it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to be scared to cut loose the things that have meant so much to you. I get it. But at the same time, when are you going to take that next step to elevate your life, to elevate your inner peace, to elevate who you're supposed to be in life? You know, hanging on to, if you hang around dead people, you're going to eventually die yourself.
Yeah.
So it's all in the company you keep. It's all in what you do. But unapologetically favored opened a door. It opened my third eye, so to speak, to what people really need, the feedback that I get, which kind of, you know, rolled in. I'm throwing out my third book. But, you know, it rolled into my third book was Never Be Afraid to Eat Alone. And I talk about, you know, your biggest loss being your biggest blessing or your biggest win in life in there. And if it's not, then what's holding you back from making that happen? If you were to, where would you be had you let go or forget give a long time ago? How much peace would you have right now? And that's the question. Are you ready to let go what's been holding you back? Can you do it?
Hmm. You know, I love talking to you because I got to tell you what. I mean, I know we get to spend this time together and you're sharing your strength, experience, and hope with a whole world of people right now.
Oh, yes.
But you're fired up about it. And we need that. You know, and so it doesn't surprise me that you're fired up writing another book, that you're out there. But every day you are still in the world being you, and you have a lot of different hats. No pun intended. I love that.
I love my hat.
I love that hat. But, and what I mean by that is for people that missed the opener, right, when we were talking about it, and you were being introduced, you know, it introduced you as an active duty United States Navy Master Chief.
Oh, yeah.
But you're also somebody that's taken decades of that military experience,
mm-hmm.
and you've created an inspirational, motivational, purpose-driven
mm-hmm.
organization, platform for coaching, and have taken us to the level of where we don't have to apologize.
Right.
Do have to set into mm-hmm. the gift of being favored. Tell us about that.
So that I just want people to not be scared to be who they truly are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't be scared to be who you truly are, and that means acknowledging the flaws and not being self-critical and self-judgmental and measuring what you have or don't have against somebody else who may have or may not have. You know, you got to be your own individual because everybody else is taken. You can only be you. You know, you can't be somebody else. That person is that. You have to be you. Don't be scared to step out and be different. But the thing is, with being different, it brings attention. And sometimes it might not be the attention that you want, so people want to have that good-feeling attention. But who cares if it's negative,
yeah.
you know? And I told the young man I talked to yesterday, I said, you know, I live life by the six F's. And for most of my proteges and my peers and people that know me, they know my six F's. I can't really give them here, but, you know, we'll talk offline. But I tell them if people don't deal with your immediate emotions, you know, your bills, your money, your family, why are you letting them influence how you feel?
Yeah, exactly.
Never be scared to step out on a limb. No, because, again, that goes back to you are blocking your blessing because you're trying to be somebody else. But you weren't meant to be that person. You were meant to be exactly who you are. Your life has a purpose. You need to figure that. But you will never know what it is pretending to be somebody else. Don't apologize for it. Stop being scared to be who you truly are. If people don't like you, that's fine. Life is still going to go on.
I love that you're talking about this because one of the things that you pinpointed is this idea of running away from self-truth. How does that show up? Okay, so here you are. Just going to give you an example. I want you to comment on these two things. Here you are. You're in a 12-step program. You have 5 years of sobriety. Your family invites you over. Everybody's around the table, and they're trying to give you a drink. And your answer to them is one of about 50 answers that you thought over in your mind, every single one of them except the truth.
Right.
And the agony that you go through by coming up with answers that are going to please other people instead of telling the truth,
mm-hmm.
those will bring you down, right? And that's what we're talking about today, right? I mean, here you are. You're out with people, or you know people, and you get to learn how different we are. But you also learn we're all part of the same thing. We have different interests. We have different priorities and different motivations.
Right.
But the one thing we have in common, we're not perfect.
Nope. Not by a long shot. I love my Brene Brown. I'm going to meet her one day. She doesn't know it, but I'm going to find her. But, you know, she talks about fitting in is about assessing the situation and becoming who you need to be accepted. Because it's like you're having to change who you are just to fit in with those people. If that's what you have to do in your life to feel like you're a part of something, then you're not where you belong. You are not where, if you belong somewhere, you will never have to alter your appearance, change your accent, do anything. No, you would never be pressured to be anything than who you genuinely, unapologetically are. That's where you belong. But as soon as you start having to modify anything about you, your life, you're just fitting in and you don't belong there. You do not belong there.
I want you to talk about this before we go to break, and that is this famous or infamous idea of perspective. I love perspective because I love it in the arts. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm like, I love, like, avant-garde art where you see people, like, two people looking at the same painting. One person says it's a ghost. The other person says, oh, that's my mother. But whatever it looks like, there's a perspective on it.
Mm-hmm.
In the art world, there are many debates, much dialogue, and they they're going to debate and dialogue on perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, here we are, human beings, every day of our life, and we just can't wrap our minds around that somebody is different but not less than.
Oh, yeah. And I was thinking about the girls' trip that I did in December. I went down to Miami with a group of girls, and we're on vacation. And so pretty much everybody that was there, we were all active duty military or either retired military. And there were two young ladies there. They were a civilian, and the difference between those two individuals and the rest of us, it was kind of overwhelming. It was like, oh, wow, never really thought about that. And I had one of my girlfriends, she said, you know, the one thing about the military is that you make friends from different ends of the spectrum, all different walks of life, backgrounds, religions, race, creed, sexuality, it doesn't matter. You're going to meet somebody. But all those people are not meant to go everywhere. You can't take everybody everywhere. Sometimes where you meet somebody is exactly what they need to say. They're not supposed to go on trips with you. They're not supposed to meet your family. It's all in how you look at it. But you have to see that. That has to be your perspective. That has to be your reality. You have to see that and figure out who can you take where, because everybody can't go with you. Everybody cannot go with you. They're either there for a reason, a season, or possibly a lifetime, depending on where they fit in your life.
Yeah. Look, we got lots more to talk about today. For those of you out there, give us a call, 1-800-930-2819. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, what do you do when you find yourself in a situation and you need to figure out how to be yourself, how to stand tall, even if somebody perceives your life as an epic fail? Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Who taught you or your kids how to handle stress? That's right, no one. I'm combat veteran Deb Lewis, and I'm on a mission to change that. My new children's book, Why is Pono Not Pono Today, is set in Hawaii. Lovable characters, Pono the Bull and his friend Kuleana, show us how a stressful situation ends happily. Look closer to reveal powerful ways to handle all types of stress. Start loving your stress-filled life today. Go to mentallytoughwomen.com.
It's time to get your life back on Burn Bright Today with Jennifer Marcinelli. Tune in each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn to move from the darkness of burning out to the light of Burning Bright. Jennifer is redefining stress and the energetic causes of burnout, shining a light on the process to get your life back. For more information about Jennifer and her work, visit burnbrighttoday.com.
Are you ready to experience full body system wellness? Tune in to the Empower Me Show with Pam Bright, a spiritual toolbox for your life. Embrace the fullness of who you are as a spiritual being, having a human experience. Pam Bright is a multidimensional healer, light language channel, energy intuitive, and spiritual transformation coach. Join her for a rich conversation about how to unlock all your spiritual gifts. Mondays at 3 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio.
Life can be demanding, but sometimes our wheels are spinning and we're too focused on making them turn to notice we're stuck in the mud. Tune in to The Pause with me, Ellen Wyoming Deloy, every second and fourth Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. Learn how to stop, reflect, and start moving forward with intention. And if you're really looking to jumpstart your personal development, schedule a free coaching consultation with me at ellenwyomingdeloy.com.
Stuck in a roundabout of dysfunction? Stop circling around difficult issues and find out what's been holding you back. Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Aubert. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Aubert. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyaubert.com. That's drkathyaubert.com.
Are you ready to branch out? Take a leap of faith. Tune in to Get Rooted Radio with Erica Gifford Mills on TransformationTalkRadio.com to equip, empower, and enlighten yourself. Erica will energize and excite you to power up your passionate dreams that sets your soul on fire. So, get fearlessly ready and get powerfully rooted in your yes to live it up, love it up, and let it go. Visit GetRootedRadio.com.
Give me the Chaka Khan version, or give me some other version.
No, that is actually a remix with Whitney Houston.
Okay, that'll work for me. That's going to work for me.
You're welcome.
I love you, Betty. I love you. Look, we're here unapologetically favored with Courtney Cottrell, Walk in Your Purpose. Every show that Courtney does, every move she makes is towards that end. And part of it is, you know, the ability, right, the ability to be a United States Navy Master Chief and come to the forefront and say, I have learned a few things and I'm still learning a few things.
Every day.
But here's where we are. If you're going to be a leader in whatever tribe you're in,
mm-hmm.
you better have a sense of what to do when you're hit with the big loss.
Oh, yes.
And to see the biggest blessing in it.
Because the higher up you go, the more everybody's watching you. I was going to say the other half, but that's it.
They are watching you. What's up with that? But, you know, I shared with you that little example about the shoplifting and my mom, and I so got over that. Right? I mean, I understand the emotional part of that. But I so got over that, that I demanded that gift be given to me.
Right.
Right? I can't even tell you what the gift is because I never got it. And whatever that $1.50 or whatever it was I offered, it was not going to be given to me. But I walked out of there. We went out to get White Castle burgers that you get in the Bronx. I love them, sorry. I loved them as a kid. I ate 10 of them, just saying. Actually, I ate 11 of them. I stopped at 10, and then it was like, oh, my birthday, and then, like, okay. But the point that I'm making is this. If you don't let go, and I want you to define this for us.
Oh.
If we do not learn the ability to let go Yep. We will not be able to fully embrace the life that's about to happen, nor will be able to attract it. Tell us about the power of letting go. What did you learn from it?
You have to let go and let life happen. Like, period. You have to let go and life happen. See, we want to control everything because we just it makes us feel like I can manipulate and I can move things how I want them to move. I can make people act the way they need to act according to what I need from them. We want to be in control of everything, and that's why you're stuck where you're at. You can't hang on to everything when it's falling apart. When things are falling apart, they're falling where they're supposed to fall. But we're steady out here going against the grain and just, you know, trying to make somebody do what we want them to do or trying to, you know, handle a situation to make it course correct itself and go where we want it to go. You can't do that. You have to, it's called trust the process. And I learned that, you know, when I was going through rock bottom. And it's a scary time because not being in control, it's like taking your hands off the steering wheel on a highway going 75, 80 miles an hour, and you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know if the car's going to veer off the road. You don't know if it's going to be, the traffic's going to stop. You're taking a chance when you do that. But when you learn to let things go, your stress level, I can tell you, there's nothing better than not being stressed out. Your inner peace increases tenfold.
Yeah.
And your health and your mental, the anxiety is less than. It becomes healthy. But see, you want to be out there telling people what they need to do and where to go, and you can't. Because, again, they're going to be who they are. How you respond to that is what makes you who you are.
You know, I've had a lot of time to reflect here recently. And every time I say that, people want to know what's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is there something wrong? Because that's our human nature.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about reflection for a minute and the power of it. So I'm not reflecting on what I didn't get or my losses, although they're still part of me. I just went back east to a funeral.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a brother-in-law funeral, a man that none of us thought should have died, pass away.
Right.
A decorated, you'd appreciate this, Courtney, ex-military,
mm-hmm.
Decorated police sergeant,
mm-hmm.
decorated emergency vehicle, decorated fire person. When they celebrated him, the fire department, the police department, we have video of this. The EMS department, the hospitals, the nurses, I think I'm going to cry.
Mm-hmm.
Gave him a parade.
Mm-hmm.
And the parade went for a mile long. And they mm-hmm. stopped at all the places. And when they got to the hospital, because of how brilliant this guy was and how committed to service, the doctors and the nurses all came out in appreciation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does that mean that he was perfect? No. Does it mean he hadn't suffered loss in his life? He did. He lost his first wife. But how is it a man like that can go through loss, or a woman like you can go through what you go through, of service to other people so brilliantly, it will make your head swim? See,
yep.
That's what we need to show people, that say, I can't do it. I just lost this. I just.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't that what you're teaching us?
That's the purpose. And it's so crazy how you're telling me this story right now, because just yesterday I have an officer friend of mine who I think it will be like 2 years in November. He lost his wife of like 30 years in a tragic car accident. His son almost didn't make it, but he made it. He survived. He's still healing from that. And I hadn't talked to him in a while. He called me yesterday out of the blue, just checking on me, see how I was doing, and just sharing me some stories with him. And he shared with me, he said it was something that he hadn't told anybody, and he shared with me how him and his wife were on travel, and he kept having this reoccurring dream about his retirement ceremony and how he was giving all these accolades to his wife and just loving on his wife. And, you know, in the dream, he saw his wife crying, and he went up to her and said, "Baby, are you okay?" And she said, "Yes, honey, I'm fine." And he was like, "Okay." And so he said the day of the memorial service, this was in South Carolina, a lot of the chief's mess, master chief's offices, a lot of us went to, we surprised him and showed up to his wife's funeral service. He said when he got into the pulpit to start talking about her, he stood there for like 10 minutes in dead silence because about those reoccurring dreams he kept having when he was still giving his wife the accolades and praising her for who she had been and who she's been to him in his life. And, you know, he said, "Was this what God was preparing me for, this moment right here to speak about my wife?" And I said, "You know what? I am a believer that, yes, he was preparing you for this moment so that you could be here and do what it was meant for you to do." He said, "It gave me chills, and I didn't know what to do with it." He said, "But I just remember my wife telling me, 'Baby, I'm okay.'" I said, "She's okay. That was her speaking to you before anything ever happened to let you know that she's okay." He said, "Courtney, I don't know what to do right now with myself. I don't know what my purpose is." He said, "But you know what? I give it up." I said, "Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to let go and let you just guide my footsteps." Yeah. I told him, "There's somebody out there that's going through what you're going through right now. You will be able to help somebody else get through because you've been through it yourself. That is the purpose of your life. That is the walk for your life. That loss, it was major." And he said, "You know what? I let it go." Yes, because now you are about to be used for what you were brought into this world for. And it was huge. It was really huge.
Now, thank you for sharing that. You know, those are the stories that remind us of what loss really is. And it's all different losses. This loss, I mean, honestly, if you've ever lost a job, you feel that.
You do.
But you lost a child, you lose a husband, you lose a person, you lose a friend, you feel it. But one of the things you talked about, and I just want to ask you to talk a bit more about it, is trust. If you're not trusting the process, then that means you're trying to control it.
You go against it.
Now, I don't know about you, but anytime I try to control something in my life, that was ugly.
Never worked out.
That was a whole lot of ugly right there. But trusting the process doesn't mean that we're inactive.
Right.
It simply means that you may not get what you're looking for immediately.
Right.
That you have to operate in a place of gratitude and trust in that next step you're going to take.
Yes. Because everything in your life is just a season, a reason, or a lifetime. It's a stepping stone to the next level. You know, at work, so I went to a new job, a new command, and I was talking to a female chief, and she was telling me she was frustrated, and, you know, she didn't want to be here. She wants to go back on the ships. This isn't where she's supposed to be. And I said, "Time out." I said, "We're not doing this. We are not running from the challenge." I said, "You are here at this moment in your life because you have a purpose. You are needed here." And she's telling me about different things. I said, "Maybe it was called upon you to be the person to break the cycle. You are here to be an influence to the junior people that are here that need to see your face every day because you know right from right and wrong from wrong. You're not running from the challenge." But see, that fear of, "I don't understand," the fear of, "I don't know what's next," because you can't control it, it's unfamiliar territory. That's what drives people to not let go. They want to hang on to it because they know what to expect. There's no unknown for them. That's why some people watch the same shows over and over again. They already know the outcome. Some, you know, you're like, "I know what's going to happen." It's nothing. There's no emotional, you know, roller coaster going on because you already know what's going to happen. You know, you're in control. There's no surprises because some people don't want to get in touch with their emotions like that. So they would rather say, "You know what, I'm controlling this. I'm not doing this." Anything outside of their comfort zone, they don't want to have any parts to do with it.
Oh, my God. I love what you talked about because here's the deal, right? Look, you can be Usain Bolt. You can be the Olympic champion like lightning. You can be him, and you will not be able to run fast enough away from challenge. Challenge comes back around because challenge shows up, right, Courtney?
Because,
you know, you're being guided to get to that path, to get to that place where you learn something from the loss so that you can win again, right? Tell us about that.
That is, it's a stepping stone. I feel like, you know, I come up with all these analogies, and I'm thinking, like, you know, if you keep taking out your trash, put it in a trash bag, and you just leave it there in your house. That next trash, you just leave it there because you don't want to lose anything. Like the hoarders, you don't want to lose anything. Everything starts piling up. How can you live comfortably? How could you mentally and physically be okay? You can't. Nothing good has ever come out of a hoarder's house, but they want to hang on to everything. Apply it to your life. Nothing good has ever came out of anything that you have hung on to for years. Physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, financially, you have to figure out when to let that go. Because that is what's blocking your next level in life. That is why you cannot get ahead. But it takes that self-reflection, self-evaluation, that getting in touch with, you know, your raw emotion and being open and vulnerable and saying, you know what, this is about to hurt. It's going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. But I have to do it to free myself. You know, like what's that song by Fantasia? Sometimes you got to lose to win again. You have to lose to win again.
Yeah.
Because what's going on in your life is not for you. It was there for a reason, a season, and if it's great, maybe even a lifetime.
Yeah. I want to talk to you about that bridge and what you just mentioned. And one of the things you mentioned that I'm really struck by is this idea of looking at something and, first of all, understanding that you will win again. But there's something else in the show today that I want to get back to in the time we have left. It's one thing to let go. It's another thing to take a life event and see the blessing in it. That is where the juice is, though. When people hear me talk about the suicide of my mom, and I've got a smile on my face, I will get questions from the interviewer where they don't get it, and I'll have to answer it. And my answer is simple. I said, yeah, did I miss my mom? No question. But look at my life. My mom gave me love. My stepmom gave me life lessons, perseverance, how to believe in myself, and how never to quit. Now, what people get two moms that can teach us, but teach them both sides of the coin?
Right.
And I think if we could get to that place, and I didn't get there alone, Courtney. I had to work with somebody like you to help me. But isn't that the PowerPoint in your work that you do? So that people just don't have to let go. That when they shift that energy, everything is possible, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Let's say, you know, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at will change. And everything that happens, there's a lesson in it. But only the people that have that third eye open, the only people who are using their entire brain and not just a piece of it, can actually see it and wrap their minds around it and say, you know what, this happened. But if it wasn't for that setback, if it wasn't for that loss, if it wasn't for that failure, if it wasn't for, you know, those trials and tribulations, if I sat there and dwelled in it, if I stayed emotionally attached to it, if I never healed from it or hung on to those individuals, you know, where would I be right now? I had to let things go in my past, dealing with, you know, my stepfather who passed away. He raised me for the time I was 3. He passed away, I think I was like 15. I was 15. And some days I felt like I was going through hell and back with him. And I lost him to colon cancer in 1996. But I didn't understand it at that time because I was young. I didn't have life experience. Now looking back at it, that loss with everything he taught me made me have compassion for others.
Yeah.
That compassion is what I've brought into the military over the years, being able to sit down and have a conversation with somebody and be there for them because I know what it feels like to not have your biological father in your life. I know what it feels like to lose a parent who's raised you. I know what it feels like to be the one getting picked on because of, you know, an older sibling did something, so now you're like, you're not going to follow them. I know what it feels like, so I can sit down and relate. But those situations, they weren't always great, but that's what made me who I am. The suicidal contemplations that I had made me see people with a different eye, because now I'm tuned in to everything that you're not saying.
Yeah.
The things that you are not saying is what's speaking the loudest to me. So I have those losses, those hardships, those hard times have molded me to be a much more in-tuned, empathetic, active listening individual that, I don't know, I think I have been blessed in that aspect to now see what I didn't see before, and I use that every day, because I think sometimes it didn't have to be me. It could have been somebody else.
I love it. You know, part of what you said, too, is, you know, those things that we don't say, those are the things that are controlling our life. They're in there, and they are operating, even though we don't speak the words, we're not talking about them, not saying them.
Mm-hmm.
They are pretty much what they're doing for us is they are just saying, go here, Pat, don't go there.
Right. And they're controlling us. It's controlling. That's that bag, that bag, the mental capacity bag. You have to figure out how to discard that. That's what's weighing you down. You know, and people want to cover up things and keep suppressing. A cup is going to eventually overflow if you keep filling it. The bag won't be able to close anymore if you keep filling it. You have to deal with things and heal from things and let go what is dragging you down. That bag is dragging a lot of people down because they have not yet figured out how to get in touch, be vulnerable, and say, you know what, this happened. I'm good. I forgive you and move on. They're still hanging on to things and not letting them go.
You know, also, one of the things you and I think have in common, of course there are things that we can learn about forgiveness and letting go and grieving, but I don't know about you. I've had a number of breakups in my life, and that was a faster thing to get me to the gym than I could shake a stick at.
That is a true statement. Like, your ex always looks better after you break. Like, you look good. Really, really. Oh, I went to the gym. You never went to the gym before either.
Oh my gosh. I should get in a relationship just to break up to get back to the gym. No, I'm not wishing that on me. I'm not wishing that thing on me again. Look, I want to talk to you about Renew You in 2022. Everything we're talking about here is really under that umbrella, so to speak.
Yes.
You know, because we cannot give up on ourselves.
Never.
See, that's what your message is about here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether or not, you know, you're going to the gym or you're not going to the gym or whatever you're doing, you have to get back your renewal mojo.
Oh, yes. And I'm glad you brought that up, because my third book, Never Be Afraid to Eat Alone, Own Your Power and Level Up, is out now. Go buy it. I talk about that. Having 5 minutes to sit down and get back in touch with yourself. Meet yourself again for the very first time. You know, heal from your past. Write a love letter to yourself. Encourage yourself to be better tomorrow. Figure out who you need to forgive in your life and do it. Don't be scared. Renew who you are as a person so that you can be better tomorrow. And just spread your glow with everybody. They'll be like, you look good today. What's different about you? Oh, I know who I am. I have found out who I am, and I'm giving you all I got unapologetically.
Mm-hmm. I want to know, how do we find out about you? Like, how do people work with you? But how do they get your book?
So my website, unapologeticallyfavored.net, is finally up and running.
Nice.
Oh, I've been so busy. I have merchandise. You can find merchandise on there. If you are a gift shopper, a gift giver, a gift lover, you will find everything from motivational, inspirational T-shirts, coffee mugs, tote bags, wall art.
Nice.
Whatever is there is there. And also my books are on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, and you can actually purchase them through my website as well, unapologeticallyfavorite.net.
You know, Courtney, I so inspirational, but I also know you're a woman of action. There's no question about it. Anybody that works with you is going to get a giant dose of that.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also going to get a life of experience, because you do understand loss. You do understand when you're told you're not enough or you're not good enough.
Right.
And so this is what people now need in order to really find that juice to renew.
Yeah.
To renew you.
Renew.
We have to find that.
Yeah.
I want to know, what you want to tell us about that. What is your message for people that may be listening or may tell somebody else to listen? Because we have to believe we can do this.
Right. And I did one of my inspirational pieces of merchandise, you know, is pictures of just women of different shades of color. And it says, actually, I can and I will. That's all it says. Actually, I can and I will. And to me, that little phrase is so powerful because no more should you sit there and doubt who you truly are. People have so much potential, so much, you know, motivation, inspiration, but we give it to other people to the point we get home and we're too lazy to work on our own goals and dreams and aspirations in life. We're like, I'm tired. I've been dealing with it. No, you take that energy. I don't care how tired you are. I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning on the weekends, weekdays, holidays, and I am working out because whatever you invest in yourself is what you're going to get out. It makes you feel good. If you feel good, you're going to look good. If you look good, you're always going to do good. So renew who you are this year in 2022. It's January, about to be February. 10 more months of this year already left. But, you know, that's the renew who you are. Meet yourself for the first time in 2022.
I wanted to say to people that you're not just talking about this. People can work with you and,
yes,
you know, find that place that you can help them. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes in my life, always, I've needed a lift up. I've learned the power of asking for help from another person.
Yes.
And if there was anything here about unapologetically favored or renew you in 2022, I know it's your passion to make sure that people don't have to do that alone.
Never. You should never be alone. I'm always here. I put that out to everybody. You know, even the young man that contemplated suicide Friday, I said, I want you to take my number. Anytime you feel like you need to take a knee, anytime you feel like you've hit a dark spot, I don't care what time of day it is, you need to call me, and I will help you out. I said, we're going to walk this path together.
Thanks for tuning in to Unapologetically Favored. When you stop worrying about what others think and start walking in your purpose, you allow yourself to grow, you discover all the gifts you have to offer the world, and everything begins to shift from uncertainty to possibility. Can't get enough? Unapologetically Favored is also a book. Bring home a copy and learn more about Courtney by visiting unapologeticallyfavored.com. We will see you.